just need a slightly different from what they are. We talk, we see things are.
You're listening to Strange Familiars, true stories of the paranormal, cryptids, hauntings, the occult, mythology, UFOs, folklore, weird and forgotten history. Please make sure to like and subscribe to Strange Familiars on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you are listening. Please share the Strange Familiars page and episodes on Facebook and other social media. If you have experienced something strange, or if you know a story you would like us to cover, email strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, and of course, strangefamiliars.com.
Welcome to Strange Familiars, everybody. Just a quick note, I stumbled on some new information and some new witnesses regarding York County's Toad Road. Of course, I wrote my first book, Beyond the Seventh Gate, about Toad Road, and I've been meaning to write a kind of companion volume to it. I didn't think I had enough information, but as I sat down and looked at these stories I gathered, both from new witnesses and from historical sources, I found out I think I do indeed have enough for another book. But that said, I'm still looking for folks, still looking for stories. If you've experienced the unknown on Toad Road, or at Cador's Furnace, or anywhere in the Hellum Hills, please contact me. You can reach me at strangefamiliarspodcast.com, or use any of the contact info for the podcast, and it will get to me. February 19th, James and I spent the night in a haunted church in Columbia, Pennsylvania. This building is now home to the Columbia Historic Preservation Society. I arrived about 7 p.m. on the 19th. James got there just after midnight on the 20th. So in this first part, you'll hear on-site recordings we made that night. Then we'll go to Chris Vera. He's the director of the Historical Society there. And we'll hear some of the ghost stories and sightings associated with the property. Now, I recorded Chris this past Sunday, March 11th. Before then, I had only heard one or two of these stories Chris related to me. I'd never heard Chris's story of seeing the small black thing in the kitchen before Sunday. So James and I had a couple interesting experiences. As you'll hear, I didn't think we had anything major happen. But after I left the church, I remember seeing this black thing on the floor when I woke up in the middle of the night. It wasn't there in the morning. So I tell the story to Chris later in the episode. The place where I saw the black thing at the foot of my air mattress, it's about 20 feet from the kitchen where Chris says he saw whatever black thing he saw. Most of the audio for this episode was recorded on site at the church in the parsonage. I've done my best to even out the audio levels, but some inconsistency is to be expected.
We are at the Miller Manse, which is the house attached to the English Evangelical Lutheran Church in Columbia, Pennsylvania. The reason we're here is because it's where the Columbia Historical Society is located, and this building is supposedly very haunted. I was on The Existence of Strange Things, which is Lon Strickler's new show.
Okay.
With all the guys that used to do Arcane Radio.
Okay.
Butch Wachowski and Lon and Sean Fortner. And when I was talking to them about it, they brought up Albatwitch Day, which of course happens in the town of Columbia.
Yep.
Here. And strangely, that guy Butch says, what do you know about that Historical Society building? It's supposed to be really haunted. Well, so I thought that was pretty interesting. I said, what do I know? I said, I'll be spending the night there coming up. So that was just a couple weeks ago. So I thought that was pretty cool. Because he had no clue that we were going to be here.
Right. And here we are.
Here we are. So I don't know much about it. I purposely told Chris, the director of the Historical Society, I purposely told him.
I don't want to know. Don't want to know the stories.
I didn't want to be influenced by it. I know from talking to him in the past that there's an old woman a ghost of an old woman, I believe, that's in here. And that's interesting because of something else I'll get to in a minute. There's supposed to be, I think, three entities in total that they know of. People have seen things. A painter has actually, that working here recently, they're doing renovations right now.
Right.
A painter supposedly has seen a full person, full body, you know. Yeah, it looked like they were there. It wasn't like a phantom or anything.
Yeah.
But who they're supposed to be, what their names are, et cetera, I really don't know. Other than, like I said, the one old woman, because I remember hearing Chris talk about that in the past. Apparently she was mean.
Yeah. I think in situations like that, in a situation like this, I prefer personally as well to come in and not know a whole lot of the stories and just have my own experience.
Yeah, because I think...
And then ask about the stories and then see if there's anything that sort of connects.
Right, see what matches from if we experience anything.
Sure.
And also, I didn't want to be influenced. I didn't want to sit there and have something in the back of my head.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I'm in full agreeance on that being the way to go.
So speaking of influence, and this really, I mean, it's just a dream, but still, last night I had this horrible dream, this horrible, horrible dream. I was with a friend. I believe it was a friend from high school. I haven't seen, you know, since college, and we were at his grandmother's house, who I never met in real life. So it's just this generic sort of old woman. And
that's actually pretty funny.
We're helping her with something. I forget exactly what it was. And all of a sudden, she looks at me and her eyes have gone all black.
Duh.
And she starts coming after us.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
And she's kind of like coming after us and through her house and stuff. And I left her house and I went to like social services and I'm explaining to them like what's going on there, and they said, well, it's time for her to go get help. She needs to go to a home. Like, if this has happened, like, they didn't really believe me about the black eye thing, but they said, like, she's like trying to attack you, it's time. So we go back there and I'm going to help him, you know, get her to this home, and she's sitting in her car with the window rolled down, and she's like rocking back and forth. She's like, but her eyes are normal. And I go up and I start talking to her, like, hey, we're going to help you. You know, we got some place for you to go. And she turns and looks at me and her eyes go black. Mm-hmm. And she starts the car. And now she's coming after us in a car. Freaked me out. I remember in the dream, I'm thinking I have to get to the woods because she won't be able to drive, you know, through the trees and stuff. So I woke up all freaked out. I had a black-eyed person dream. Didn't connect it to this here at all. Until I'm telling my daughter, Ursula, because she just loves black-eyed kid stories, loves black-eyed people. She's constantly bugging me to do black-eyed kids on the podcast, which I think we'll be doing coming up. Hopefully we can get David Weatherly on to talk black-eyed kids with him. But she's constantly on the black-eyed kids thing, so I tell her the story, and she says, and you have to go to that church tonight. This morning. And that's when I thought about this old woman that's here. I was like, oh man. But, you know, we'll see. If we see any black-eyed entities, you may be here alone as I run screaming out. a puddle trailing behind me. So, what's been up, James?
It's been really, really, really busy.
Yeah.
Grinding, paying those bills.
Right on. Yeah, James started a second job, so it's just been harder and harder for us to schedule. But I think we're getting back on track. So
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm looking forward to doing some more recordings and getting out more, you know, once I had the first month of new village figured out, I would be able to adapt my schedule a little bit more tightly to have a little bit more free time. But as it is right now, I definitely feel like I have time to be able to contribute a little bit more.
Things are settling down.
Yeah, things are definitely settling down in the best possible ways. So
yeah, we had this playing out for a while. So this is cool.
When do we initially? Jeez, was that Awatwich Festival we were initially talking about?
I mean, he's been talking to me about it forever and forever, yeah. And then like Chris really doesn't like this place. Like he said, he doesn't like to be here alone. As he's leaving tonight. He's leaving me alone here. Mm-hmm. Cause I was here for, I don't know, 4 hours or something before James showed up. And he's like, "You're a brave guy." As he's leaving. I'm like, okay. All right, just like make it scarier, Chris. What do you think our approach would be? Like we're not, we've got a Mel meter that Chris lent us.
Sure.
I didn't have any ghost hunting tools.
Sure. In my opinion, and just in my experience, I feel like some of the best ghost hunting tools are the ghost hunting tools that you're already equipped with, right? Like your instinct, your ears, your eyes.
That has been our approach to everything.
Yeah.
To get in and you know, experience.
Anything else, you know, I don't know. With all that stuff, I mean, I can see how those things are useful and stuff like that, but there's a part of me that always feels that those things are relied on like almost like props.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that they don't work,
right?
I just can't speak to how accurate or how well they work. You know,
sure.
What I mean? But we do have a few things at our disposal, and we do have a bunch of recorders set up. And
right. So while you weren't here, I took a recorder upstairs in the church. And
what are our main locations that we're trying to?
So Chris told me the hot spots are pretty much the whole upstairs of the church and the manse. So the whole
have not been upstairs yet.
The whole upstairs area, and there's a sort of corridor downstairs that he said was a hot spot. And he showed me the basement, and he seemed very trepidatious. He said, "There's the basement if you want to go down there." So I don't know whether he means like,
so that means we want to go down.
Yeah,
there.
We probably want to go down there. So I figure, like I said, I took a recorder upstairs, and just while I was downstairs, I was practicing banjo and hanging out, and I just let that recorder run the whole time. So maybe we caught something on that, maybe we didn't. And I figure from this point on, we'll just take recorders with us and let them roll. We'll see if we get some EVPs. We'll talk and discuss our feeling and any experiences we have.
Yeah.
Shoot pictures.
I mean, that makes sense to me with regard to this sort of taking stuff with us as we move. And sometimes you really don't know until you go back and review things.
Right.
With the sounds and such.
And after this is done, the next time I see Chris, I will get him to tell me the stories then. And we'll see if anything he says matches up or, you know, if not, well, at least we'll have some good ghost stories for the podcast.
For sure. So, you want to get to it?
Let's get to it.
This next section of audio is recorded upstairs in the church. This is the old worship area, but it now holds a massive model train display. I think we make a couple references to the trains or to kids being in the room and so forth, so that's what we're talking about, if it's not clear. Before the heat comes on, it sounds pretty horrifying. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
That sounds like... I'm guessing that was the heat. That would be an interesting... sound, unless...
Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah.
That almost sounds like something being thumped around.
This sounded like a voice maybe in the basement or something? I don't know. Unless something's screaming in the ducts.
Huh. I want to go up and check this out.
Yeah.
For sure.
So up here is where all the stained glass is, and...
It's incredible. It's a little bit creepy, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I want to know why there's a chair up there facing facing the wall. What are they looking at?
They are doing renovations right now, which, for whatever it's worth, if you ask ghost hunting people, when things are being renovated, things are being moved around and stuff, that's when things get stirred up. So.
Well, I wonder if there is something here, if there's a presence here with us, what it makes of all of this,
very intense, meticulous creation. If there is something here, is it from this time? Does it recognize this? You know, is it before this time? You know, that's what I'm curious about.
You know what it calls
as
to mind?
I'm walking around.
When I was a little kid, my brother Chris, who is deceased, had dated this woman outside of Baltimore, Maryland. And her family lived in a house that was supposed to be very, very haunted. And one of the psychics that came to their house said, "You will never have problem with the ghosts as long as you keep children around." So when I see like a big train display in a supposedly haunted area, it just kind of makes me think of that. Mm-hmm. Like, if while it's obviously isn't done by children, it's done, you know, certainly children are going to be here quite often checking out the trains. This is where the preacher would have stood, presumably, right?
Yeah.
Up here, I don't know what that area is called. The pulpit? The pulpit, right? I think it's the pulpit.
And it is now the control booth.
One thing I will say that I've noticed since we've been up here is it's not particularly chilly up here, but I do continuously get chills up and down my spine being up here. Not necessarily meaning there's something here. Not necessarily meaning there isn't something here, but it is something that I'm noticing being up in this particular room. I have gotten quite a few chills up and down my spine since we've been up here. I just had one a moment ago, and it's been happening, and I've been completely just kind of enamored with what's going on up here that I've not been really like paying much attention to it, but I just had it happen like a moment ago when I was talking about the woodwork up here. So. And I don't think that it's particularly cold up here at all. I don't have goosebumps or anything.
No.
Just the chill.
The next clip finds James and I in the dark upstairs in the parsonage. As we said, they're doing some work on the property right now, and I think they had the electric off. I don't even think we could have turned the lights on if we wanted to. So we're in the front office in this clip, which we agreed was the place we felt the most cold spots and chills and the creepiest feelings of the night. This would be upstairs in the manse here. Now this is where presumably the preacher lived back in the day.
Just got a crazy chill coming over here. It's really warm in this.
It's very warm right here. And there is a chill right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went right up my...
Yeah, as soon as I walked in here, I got a chill, but I also noticed how much warmer this room felt.
Yeah, oh my goodness. That chill is real. I mean, that's...
Wow.
So, anyone here want to give us some EVPs? That would be...
Wow, that is a... Okay, so there's a vent right there.
Okay.
Okay, so that's blowing warm air. I'm not exactly sure why it's cold right here in this spot.
Yeah, it's right as you come through the door. Maybe this is the power suggestion, but back here does feel weirder to me. Like, it feels a little creepier back here. Well, we don't have the lights on. The lights aren't actually working in this part yet. Yeah. So.
The lights are not on. I do have a flashlight.
So maybe it's power suggestion, but I'm getting another cold chill right now.
Yeah. I feel it on this arm. Wow, that's really weird. It almost feels like my arm, like cold air, mm-hmm. like over the hairs of my arm. but it's just on the right hand. Wow, that's really weird. I almost feel like, you know how like when you like you you start to fall asleep, like mm-hmm. your arm starts to fall asleep from mm-hmm. propping on it, not like completely, but it just goes a little bit numb and gets that cold feeling.
Right.
As the blood circulates back into it. That's what I'm feeling, but it's constant right now.
So this is some sort of office. We'll have to make note of it when we talk to Chris.
Yeah.
And see if anything.
Corner office. Okay. Well, that's my first major.
Yeah, that
something in here.
That was a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This office, the one James and I were in the previous clip, you'll hear Chris talking about it later when he says people could hear papers rattling and shuffling in the room. It's also the room where the children outside reported a woman staring at them through the blinds. James and I spent time in every room, including the basement. We had multiple recorders running in separate rooms. I've listened now to hours upon hours of audio from that night, hoping to catch some EVPs or other anomalies. The only thing I found of interest was recorded in the upstairs office after we left. I left a recorder running with voice activation on, which means it would only record when it heard something to record. So there are two sounds which sound almost like feedback. They're about 30 seconds apart. The first one is something that sounds kind of like high feedback. That might not be what it is, I'm not sure. But that's just kind of what it sounded like to me. And then it's followed 30 seconds later by something that sounds like low feedback. And the digital recorders we use have built-in mics, so there's nothing plugged into them. There's no headphones, no speakers plugged into them. The mics are kind of on board. I don't think they can feedback on their own. That said, I don't know what the sounds were. I'll just go ahead and play them now, the high feedback, and then followed by the low feedback. Before we get into Chris's stories about the haunted church, I just want to thank all of our patrons. Strange Familiars would not happen without you. If you like what we do and you want to hear more Strange Familiars, please consider becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Just $3 a month helps us bring the show to you and gets you extra content. We try to do one full patron-only show every month. If you want other rewards like pins, t-shirts, and vinyl stickers, there are other reward levels, but every bit helps. I received a very nice compliment recently. Someone told me that I should thank my entire production staff for all the work they do putting this show together. I am the production staff. Everything you see and hear, from the logo and artwork to the music to the editing and the final production, is done by me. No interns, no staff. Of course, James, Allison, and some other friendly voices you hear on the podcast, they help me plan and host and present the show, and they go out with me on site and so forth. But everything else is a one-man job. Takes a lot of my time, and time is money, and it takes money to go out to these on-site areas, of course, and spending time away from writing books and other things. We don't have sponsors. We don't have grants or advertisers. We just have our patrons. So thank you, patrons, once again. And if you'd like to help, go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Chris Vera walked me through the church again this past Sunday and told me some of the many paranormal experiences he and others have had in the church. Just a note, when Chris says Albatwitch here, he's referring to the Albatwitch Day Festival, which is held in Columbia, not the Albatwitch creatures.
Chris from Columbia Historic Preservation Society. Been here since 2009. I've experienced probably over 100 different paranormal events inside the buildings. Some were really, really deep that I would actually run out the door. That's how, you know, freaky it got to me. I'm only here to work. I'm not here to be scared, but people seem to be intelligent, so they know my name. But I'll take you a walk through the museum and tell you what where we're at, inside what room. And we're going to go in the Miller Manse, which is a small parson built in 1880. This was my first experience when I was here. We just remodeled this whole room right here. And it's about, I think it was like 8 o'clock at night. I'm here by myself. And I didn't really know anything was going on in here. Yeah, I knew there was things that walked around in here because we knew stories for like this room right here in the front room. She used to sit here and they would hear papers upstairs in their archives department shuffling around and people talking. So she would send her husband, Bob Miller, upstairs to see who they were, and there was never anybody up there. So, but back in 2009 or 2010, I'm up on a ladder right here and I'm putting a swag right here. And when I'm up there, a head comes out of the kitchen. Just a head, no body, just a head. And it comes and it levitates, so you can sit like right in front of that door, and it just sits there and levitates, staring at me. And I'm up on the ladder, just staring back at it. And I sort of, it did, the face look like Florence Miller, who was the past president, who passed away of Alzheimer's. So I jump off the ladder and run outside like I usually do, because, you know, the pressure and stuff like that, because I worked 4.5 years up at the market house. I had oodles of experiences, bad experiences up there, but to have my first experience here was a shocker. When I get off the ladder, I look back, I see the head right back into the kitchen area, and that was the last time I saw the head. But it was just the head, just levitating on the door.
So this is like what kind of the entryway to the manse?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is like the living room for the pastor at that time. So that was one experience I had in here. Probably one of the most, you know, first to trigger everything, like, oh, you know, I see something. And it seems like they now know that I see them and they understand that, you know. But I think they understand now, since, you know, being here for 8 years, that I'm not here to hurt them.
Right.
I'm here to, you know, and they seem to protect me, believe it or not. But that was just the first one. So,
but I've heard that about other paranormal stuff, though. Like, it's like once people see it, then right. Then it's like then you'll see it again.
It was like maybe she was checking me out and she didn't think I was going to focus on her, and I did, and that's when she knew that I got scared. I jumped off the ladder, and that's when I think they understood. But before that, even at the market house, it felt like they knew that I see them. And even my friend's house, when I'm 16 years old, when I started to see my first woman, first ghost paranormal ever, was she was going down the steps. It was always since then is when things started happening to me. So we're going into the kitchen. Like I said, cool look the kitchen. Here is where I got laughed at one instance. I got whistled at in another instance. And I'm the only one in the building. What we heard before we had other people, mediums, come in, there was a black woman in here. And she doesn't like people being in her kitchen. And they were people who did not know what goes on in these bones. We didn't tell them anything. Rick Fisher and I didn't tell them anything. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know what this place was. And then they said there was a black woman. It wasn't just one person. They said, she's in here. She don't like... And the odd thing is, like, I'm down at the lower steps in the hall, and I'm talking to Tony Seeger. It's like a Saturday morning, about 10 o'clock. And we hear noise in this kitchen. And all of a sudden, I see this little black mass just right across into that bathroom. It's real little. And I thought, maybe it's a cat or...
I got something to tell you.
Okay.
I got something
it
to tell
like,
you, man.
It just like, shoot, right, real fast, right past me. First, you hear the noise, and boom, it was gone. So that was one instance. The one I'll have to reenact for you was probably the most scariest one I've ever had. You know, people don't say, why are you scared of them? It's the unknown, because people don't understand that you see them. You can see watching on TV on those stupid shows, but they don't know how you feel, because it's something that you don't understand who they are and what they're here for. But anyway, so yeah, that happened in this kitchen. But one, the February of 2016, I'm inside the back pantry room of the kitchen in the bathroom area. And I'm painting this room, and I always remember this. It's about 7 o'clock, I'm by myself, and I hit that ceiling right there with paint. So I got to get off
the ladder, and I got to go get a taller ladder so I can get up in there. So I walk out here, and I turn this little hall light switch on. Now it's getting dark, you know, because it's 7 o'clock. It's, you know, it's February. And I'll turn this light off, these two lights. So I come out of here, and I walk in. And I don't turn this light on, and I don't turn the main hall light on. I walk up to the front and grab a ladder. When I come back to that first pole, okay, I'm looking, the door's wide open there. I see she's probably right about here. It's a shadow on the floor. I see the floor, and all I see is like this rocking back and forth.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a veil. I mean, you can't see like the head form, and it's short. I'm taller right now as it was, so I could have been standing like, but it was blocking basically almost, but you, all you see is a veil, like just like perfectly, and all it does, if it would have been rocking, it would have been cool to me, I would have came back, but when I see the rocking like this, you know, that just like, whew, you know, what the, so I start banging on the ladder, trying to like, which is weird, why are you trying to scare a ghost, you know, so I'm banging the ladder, and I'm scared, because I'm trapped in there. And it took me making noise up into the step. When I kick the step, it vanishes. It's gone. So I come up in here. I hit a cold spot right there. And then I got to rush back to make sure that nobody was in the building. So nobody's in the building. Call my friend who was supposed to be here painting with me. See if it was him. He said, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to make it tonight. And then that's when I got freaked out because I got to go back into that room and finish my painting.
Right.
So then that's when I felt like something was always staring at me. That was probably the most, even though it was a shadow on the floor, that thing, the rocking back and forth, more of a solid, solid entity. You know, if you saw like a light gray thing, like back and forth, I wouldn't, but it was solid black. You know, just like you see his.
Right.
It was like she was, we could tell it was a woman. So that was in February 2016. But prior to that, people always say you wait till night and stuff like that. It's totally false in these buildings. Daytime is hot.
Really?
Super hot in here. Here's me on a Saturday painting. You can stay right there.
Okay.
Those two doors right there, there's no flags on them. Okay, there's a reason I put flags there. So I'm painting right in this corner right here. I always remember this. Painting, and all of a sudden the corner of my eyes, for a field vision, I see a woman right where the blue flag is walk right past that flag and into the wall. There's a wall right behind it that goes into the furnace room. And you can see her plain as day. And she had a maroon dress on, old maroon dress, sort of heavy lady, big lady, and just walk right past and walk into the wall. So what do? I run out this way, as usual. But most people run out that way. I'm not like, oh, you're going in there. So I run. Then I'm thinking, you know, why did she do that? Why did she plant herself out there? I wanted to know why. Well, actually, I went back in that room for like 2 weeks. So I went back in there, and then I saw a ceiling tile fell down. And maybe she was telling me, hey, dude, you need to come back here. And,
So did it look like she kind of walked into a wall?
She walked into a wall because right behind the door is a wall.
Was that wall always there?
No. The weird thing is, this is the most tantalizing fact of this whole thing. On the other side of that wall is a maroon dress from a church from 1834 that I had sitting right there.
Oh, wow.
So was she wearing that same dress?
Wow.
Cause that was the weird thing, because it looked like the dress I had on the other side of the wall. Was she going into that dress?
Yeah.
Was she roaming and then went back to where that object was? But yeah, there was a doorway right there back in the church days. It was a big round doorway that she would have walked right into.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. So that was, but she was like, I could touch her. Like if I was on the other side, she was that visible. So that's why I put the flags up, because I'm in here working. It's like, you know, but you know, the stories just don't come back where I am. 1986 is when it's in a book by Dorothy Fidel writes a book.
Okay, yeah.
You heard of Dorothy Fidel? Yeah. Mm-hmm. She writes a book about Edna Clark. Edna Clark was a volunteer here, an older lady, and then Florence was working upstairs that day. Edna's coming down steps and gets slapped in the face.
Wow.
Okay. Now, I always tell my tour when I've been here that she was a mean old bitty when I was a kid, and maybe she deserved that good old slap. So, she did get slapped, and that was written in the book. And I know Edna wish she would have never lied about something like that. Now, when we used to have meetings, some of my females, a weird thing, it would be females, would see something pace up and down these steps, a shadow, while we're having meetings inside there. So we don't know what happened then. This is probably the most hottest area. This last year, we had this door closed right here, and Jane Keene and myself see a flash, poof, like a real sharp sunburst. As you can see how dark it is when the lights are out. Mm-hmm. And then with that burst, that door closed, you could see the door open like whoop.
Wow.
Like it opened the door just a little bit. Just to say, you could see the energy burst must have made that much force to open that door a little bit. So that was a lot of here. We had an Indian mannequin. This is a funny one. We had an Indian mannequin standing right here from the Shawnee Fire Company. It was a band. And my volunteer, Rick Keene, says he comes down these steps and there's nobody around. And he said somebody laughs at him. I mean, loud. Somebody laughed. It was a male voice laughed at him. And the first thing he does, he looks at an Indian. You know? He freaked him out. He's like, dude, somebody laughed at me. So we don't know if it was the Indian doing it or somebody else did it. But this area seems to always be hot for some reason. This is a hot activity room. I don't know what it is. It's because it's dark, always dark. I don't know if this is where they hide. Now, down through that door, I'm not sure if you want to go to the basement or not, but...
Oh, you can just, you know, if there's...
Yeah, down and back behind this door is the basement, and that's where Rick Fisher and his team came in back in 2010, I think it was. Where's a guy behind me, one of Rick's guys behind me, and we get to the basement. I go back halfway into the basement, and all of a sudden this energy just goes through me. I mean, it's just powerful. And I'm tingling all over, and I look behind him, behind me, and he's looking at me. He says, "Do you feel what I feel?" So it, whatever it was, he was feeling it. And it was just like a strong energy. Like, so he set up a audio video down there. He hears like little conversations, but that's all they got out of there. But yeah, you could feel. Even when we had mold problems down in the basement, we had to seal that off and had stacky mold and stuff down there. Every time I put the plastic, I was putting plastic up, I felt like somebody was on the other side of the plastic just staring at me. That's how freaked, you know, you feel that energy, like, who's somebody, you just get, I get like teary-eyed breathing problems, things like that. You know, my hair stands up, of course.
Yeah.
I know they're around, you know, you just don't know where they're going to pop up on you. So that's that. We're going to go into the main hall. Day. I used to come in here Labor Day and do like history, but nobody's in here. Yeah, just like it is now. In that room back in the little library, in 2013, I'm doing Black Civil War history. In there, we have Civil War novels back there. And I'm sitting there, and this is basically what it looks like. I'm in setup mode. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear, Chris, in the back of my head. And that was like 12 of them. But I can hear Chris in the back of my head, but I can feel my hair separate.
Oh.
Like, that's how close it is. As you can see, I'm getting teary-eyed. Freaks you out. So my hair separates and I swing around. Of course, I had an Indian mannequin standing over. That freaked me out just seeing him. But yeah, they knew my name. And that really sort of like freaked me out because it was plain as day because I said, "Here, Chris." I'm like, whew, you know, what was that? And I'm just focusing on Civil War history. So that happened on that Labor Day. The following Labor Day, I'm sitting in here and all of a sudden I hear like a bike bell. Inside this room, like ling ling, and I'm looking around like there is no bike bells in this room. I'm thinking, where'd that noise come in? It wasn't from outside. It was definitely in this room. So Labor Day, for some reason, I try, you know, I come back here and I'm expecting something. I've seen the piano, Albertwitch, 2014, or 14 or 15. It would have been 14. I'm actually getting ready for a tour. I'm back here, and there's a display case I'm leaning against. I'm getting ready, getting all the candles ready and everything. Piano, that's the Opera House piano from 1881.
Wow.
That's how old that piano is. I have that sitting over here, and all of a sudden, one of the keys drop on that piano. Mm. Now, if you push one of those keys on that piano, they're heavy, you got to really push hard. So somebody said a mouse, right? So there ain't no way a mouse can push a key down.
Yeah, a mouse like could run across that and not.
Right. So yeah, that was another instance that I had in here. I was given a tour to three old ladies one night in here, and they said, you know, we were just in Gettysburg the night before, and I'm going to tell you straight up, you better have a better tour than that. And I was sort of, whoa, you know? So these ladies were tough, and I'm standing over, like, right where that display case is, and I'm telling them stories. It's dark in here with candlelight, and I'm standing right here, and they're sitting right here, and I'm talking to them, and every time I'm looking over into that room where the photo room is, and all I see is a black shadow pacing back and forth, just back and forth. And they see me seeing that, and it freaked them out because they see I'm seeing something back there, pacing back and forth. So I don't know what that was back there. A week after Albert Twitch, the same year, Kenny Biddle from Philadelphia, his friend out of L.A., and another girl who was on one of the paranormal shows, they decided to come here and do a couple hours, then we're going to go to the Market House. So they go to the basement. They're in there for about 15 minutes. They come out. They come in. Okay, we got to go to the Market House. It's like 8:30 at night. They're packing their equipment up right over there. She's up at the counter talking to me. I'm on the other side of the counter. And I'm talking to her, and all of a sudden, I see this. He had to be 7 foot tall, black, all black figure. Just walk right past that doorway. And she sees that I see it. And then she looks back and she can see the leg going up into the kitchen.
Wow.
And then that's what she says, yells at him. That's where they run after it. Of course, there's no ghost going to put his arms up and say, I surrender. totally false. But he was like, I believe that's the caretaker's husband. It's the first time I ever saw the male. You could tell it was a male. Well, I wanted to know who these caretakers were. I found the woman who actually was, she works at BJ's. She's probably about 86 years old now. She went to this church. They moved out in 1952. She helped move us out. Well, up in the training room, since I've been here in 09, and I'm not the only one, other board of directors, other volunteers, at some time during the day or even at night, you can hear somebody pace back and forth upstairs with a cane. You can hear the cane. My wife's handicapped. You can hear the cane thud and just paces back and forth, back and forth. And sometimes we creep upstairs, you open the door in darkness, you're like, you don't see nothing. But we never caught anybody up there. So when I'm talking to her, I want to know who these people were. And I said, who were the caretakers at that time? And she said, it was Ruth and George. And I says, oh, great. Now I know their names. But I said, there's one thing. Is Ruth handicapped? And she says, oh, yes, she is. She walks with the cane.
Wow.
And that's who she is. That's Ruthie. So now we know their names, Ruth and George. So, and back when this place was just a machine shop, nobody was living in the parsonage room house. I remember the newspaper boy, he told me, now he's all grown up, he's a friend of mine. He said every time he'd go past there, even though they didn't get papers, he'd have to go past there. He would look up on the third floor of the parsonage and see this man and woman, arm to arm, standing in the third floor window, just staring down at him.
Wow.
And he said it was a normal occasion for them to do that to him.
So are the offices on the second or third floor?
Second.
They're on the second floor. Okay.
Third floor is just basically, it was run-down attic space.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and that's where Rick Fisher and Kelly Weaver and a bunch of us were up in the attic. And that's where there's a little room up there where I call it the peace room, where the pastor would go up and write his sermons. Just like a little quiet room. You could just tell that's what that little beautiful little bookshelf built in. I'm thinking it had to be where he would write his sermons, the quiet area. But when I opened that door, that's when that energy came out and went through Rick and went through Kelly. And then about 45 minutes later, I find Kelly in the parsonage with her arm against her head against the wall, just drained completely. And then I find Rick in the train room. He's completely drained. They said they've done over 1,000 investigations and never, ever seen or felt anything like that.
Wow.
So whatever was inside that room and I left out, It went through both of them and sucked everything out of them. But getting back to Ruth, he's pacing back and forth. I have a tour of about 28 people in here. And I'm talking about Ruth upstairs, about, you know, her pacing. It scares me, you know. I don't know who she is, or I know what she did here, but, you know, it's not the physicality of what she looks like and things like that. So I'm talking to the crowd, and it's dark. I have candle lights and stuff, but somebody's talking over me, okay? But it sounds like it's to my right, and I'm standing, and they're sitting. And it sounds like it's to my right. Now, there was a big girl, maybe 6'5", sitting in the front row here. So I'm talking about how afraid I am sometimes in here because you hear the person walking upstairs. And all of a sudden, you know, she just kept on talking to me. So I ignored it. I thought it was somebody rude in the audience. So I just waited. So Rick gets everybody up and takes everybody outside. I shut the whole museum down. And when I get out there, that big tall girl's waiting for me. And she said, I heard what that lady was talking to you about. I said, well, I know what she said. And I said, yeah. And I said, what did she say? And I said, first of all, who? She said, the lady who was up there, the ghost, you know? And I said, what did she say? She said, why are you afraid of me? That's exactly what she said to her.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was like an eye-opener, like, wow, you know? Now, Albert Witch 2015 is when I have a guy I know. He's a painter up in Mechanicsburg. He was working on the building I work at. And I invited his whole family to do a ghost tour. His wife was not a believer. So the daughter and the boy came along. The daughter, we're leaving the tour, and the daughter says, you mind if I take some photos while I'm on my way out? I said, sure. So she's taking a photo over in that corner where the piano's sitting. And there was a wagon sitting there with big wheels on it at the time. So she sends me the photo like 2 weeks later, says, hey, who's the little boy with the pillow? I'm like, well, I'm looking at it. So I'm looking at the wagon wheel, and I'm seeing it's the wagon wheel. You can see it, but there's a white beam up through the wagon wheel. So I said, could you send me more photos? Because I know she was clicking pretty much. So she sent me the photos. The next photo she sends me is that wagon wheel, but it's a full-length photo. Here, it's a woman levitating. You can see her, like, levitating at the top. There was blue blinds in there at that time, so that she was right against that blue blind. And you can just see her, and she has a long gown on with two ribbons coming out with big poofy hair. It's like, wow. Her hair was, and she's just like pinned up there, like staring down. It was like, whoa, you know. And even in that same photo, you can see like two things of light going through that wall right there. Like it's two beams, which was really weird. You could tell it wasn't a flash, because flash was like two like things. So, but yeah, she was pinned, and then that's when the mother, like I said, she was a non-believer. She became a believer because I told her, "Before you come in here, you're gonna be a believer, not a non-believer." So yeah, that was a pretty good, pretty cool photo to see that lady pinned up against that wall there. But like I said, you know, it's little things that happen. Somebody left in the parsonage on the second floor. They left the alarm on. I mean, they left the light on in the back. So about 4:30 in the morning, I get a call by the police. The alarms went off. And I call Yarnell, and now I ask him what levels. And she said, that's a weird thing. Only the second level went off, not the first level. So she says, that doesn't happen. And she said, there's no animal, no insects that gets to trigger your alarms. It has to be a human shadow. So what I think was, with that light beam coming out of that back room, whatever crossed that light beam set the alarms off. And then the guy had like six cops here when I got here. We did a full flush. There was nobody in this building.
Wow.
So that was I don't like 4:30 in the morning. I'd rather be 4:30 in the afternoon.
Sure. While we're here, let me tell you. So I had my air mattress right here.
Okay.
Got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom.
Okay.
So I'm walking this way. And right here is something dead black about the size of a shoebox.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought I left, you know, I had different bags and stuff with mics, right, and recorders and stuff. I thought, man, that's a dumb place to leave. Like, why did I leave that there? I'm going to step on it.
Right.
Go to the bathroom, come back, still there, same spot. And I was tired, and I just kind of made a note of, I'll pick it up in the morning.
Right.
Go back to sleep, wake up in the morning, nothing there.
Wow.
I wasn't, like, this is nothing.
And
else.
It was dark in here.
There was enough light coming through from there that I could see, but it wasn't, like, pitch dark, but it was, you know, darker than it is now. But it was, I mean, it was dead black, about the size of a shoebox.
Wow. So I wonder if that would have been.
That was the weirdest thing. When you said you saw that little black thing, that to me was like, okay, that's weird. I mean,
do you think it would have been an animal or?
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I just thought I left one of my bags out in the middle of the floor. And
so you walked around it?
Yeah, I walked right by it. I was like, God, what is it? You know, that was a stupid thing to do. Why did I leave that there? And then I made note of it when I came back, too. So it wasn't like you know, I was half dreaming or anything.
Movement out of it, though.
No movement. It was right, right around here.
Right.
And about the size of a shoebox. And then And I'm trying to, the whole time, I'm like, what is that? Is that, one of my bags with a recorder in it? Did I leave my shoes there? And then nothing, got up in the morning and
that thing's gone.
Nothing there.
Wow.
So, and the other thing we had, and I still have some tape to go through, so we may yet have, I probably have 2 hours of tape yet to go through.
Right.
So up in, in the offices.
Okay.
In the front room.
Right.
That's where we got a really okay, so there's the heat vent.
Right.
The heat's coming out, so the heat's on at this point. And we got a right underneath that where it should be warm.
Right.
Cold, dead cold spot.
Wow.
Really weird. Huh. And we're both standing there and we both kinda had that hair on the back
feeling,
of the neck.
Yeah.
Like something weird's here. This has a weird feeling. So I put the recorder up there and left it. So far the only thing I've gotten has been from that room.
Right.
And two sounds, they both sound like feedback. One's like a high feedback. Now there's, there's nothing.
Right.
All in one recorder with mics on it. Nothing should cause feedback.
Right.
So one sounds like a high feedback, and then about 30 seconds to a minute passes, and then like a low feedback, like if you've ever been on stage. And
right.
Like
energy.
Yeah.
Energy going by.
Yeah, so that's so
I used
far.
To get that down in the Dungeons of the Market House. It would be... I would have my recorder down there overnight, and then you get this, this noise interruption. I'm thinking, what was that? It wasn't a car. You could tell a car when they go by, but this was was he gathering energy up or mm-hmm. what was it doing? But I just get those on my mind.
Is that the area where people would hear shuffling papers?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I forgot to tell you about the little girls next door in the swimming pool. That was a freaky, really. And I remember it. I'm just leaving the volunteers out. We're closing up. And I'm out front with the volunteers. It's a little entry floor. There's about four of us standing out there. And the two little girls that are in the apartment next door, they're in a swimming pool. Okay? So they're swimming. These guys leave. I come in. I lock everything up. I come through here. I do a little work in here. And then I show myself up. I don't go upstairs at all. So I go out. I go outside. And Crystal stops me, the mother. And she says, hey, my daughters have something to say to you. And I said, oh, okay. She said, and they go up and see, who is that looking out the window at us? I'm like, what are you talking about? And she says, there was a woman standing upstairs in that front room through the blinds. They could see her looking out the blinds.
Wow.
Staring at them, swimming. And they said that they saw plain as day because they got scared. They ran into mom because they were like, who's that peeking at us through the blind? But I know for a fact there was nobody in this building on the second level because I just showed all the volunteers out. So I don't know who that person was up there. And, I mean, if you got pulled blinds down, I mean, how much energy does it take to pull aberration to have energy to do, is it repetitive or what are they doing? But yeah, they saw a woman up there, and I don't have no clue who that was.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll show you where another cool thing. Marty Bigler is our painter. He was freaked. It's about 4 weeks ago he was up here by himself, the whole building's down here. So he's in here. And he's over in that area painting. I just opened that door. So he's over there. So he's painting. All of a sudden he sees a flash in the hallway right here. So he's like, I don't know what that was. Because you can see how's a flash going to get through anything in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides to go outside and smoke a cigarette. So about... an hour later, he said he's back up here painting again over there. And painting, and all of a sudden just looks over here, and there's a person standing right there in the hallway.
Wow.
Yeah. So he looks at the person, but he saw it just basically was dark.
And he looks over, and he says they shoot down the back steps. Okay? And he said he could hear them going down the back steps.
Which you have stuff on the back steps, right? Like there's...
The door's blocking the steps.
Okay.
So how are you going to get through there? You got to go through the door to get to the steps.
Wow.
Yeah. So I said, dude, and I said...
That was recently, right?
That was like 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So the renovations, things like that. I'm telling you, man, it's like... But yeah, he says, I heard him going down the steps. I'm thinking, well, how are they going to get that step? They got to go through that door. But nothing was disturbed down there. You can't see footprints or anything. So he was freaked. He didn't like that.
You know? Yeah.
But he said the radio changed like a week prior. He'd go out. He always listened to 96.1. He'd come back. The radio station's changed. Huh. So
somebody wanted something else.
Yeah, they wanted something other. They didn't like that music he was playing. But yeah, this is about like right with the area. You got to understand, this is where they held church. When I had other mediums up here from like New York and stuff like that, they heard babies crying. Well, that was the baptisms that happened.
Oh, okay,
here.
Sure.
So that's what they would hear, bad babies crying. But like I said, you'll see shadows walk past you. Jane just had a shadow walk past her last week on a Saturday. She said she'll just be working and just walk past, you know. And it's just like the night, paint night, the shadow on the floor. Mm-hmm. The same day, Suzanne Whalen's out here working in that little hallway where all the energy is. And she's working. She bends over to do something. She feels somebody walk past her. So she gets up to look, and she said, there was nobody there. She said, I could feel them walking past me, but there was nobody there. But that was sort of the same night that happened to me. So I don't know if it was like the same person or what they were doing, but they'll mess with you, you know. But I don't know how many's in here. We figure it's 5 spirits will walk around here. They're not harmful, you know. It's just the thing is, it's the unknown.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it freaks you out when you...
Yeah, people don't think that you should be afraid of them. It's like, well, you don't understand. You know, all these people who, like I said, they think they're big and brave to, you know, I'm not one of them.
That's a different story when you see it.
Yeah, when you see it, it's a whole new world, and it opens up a whole new spectrum of what your belief is.
Right.
Like I said, you spent the night, 2 weeks ago? Well, I know back in 2013, the Civil War, 150th Civil War celebration in Columbia, which was huge. So Keene family, there was about 6 of them. They decided to sleep overnight because we had to get up at 5 in the morning to start all the processes. So they decided to sleep down below, okay, on the first floor where you slept. And they said all night long they felt somebody walking between them all night long. Wow. It just felt like that they could hear the creaks. They could hear like just somebody was watching them. And a lot of them wouldn't move because they were terrified because they knew it wasn't the rest of the family. They just felt somebody constantly walking past them and stuff.
Right.
And then they got freaked. And then Rick said, I heard the church bells, Chris. And I said, we don't have church bells in here anymore. But he said, I could hear the church bells.
Huh. I'm going to have to grab some of the tape because I might have gotten them on tape and thought there was another church nearby.
Well, the only thing that would ring would be the Columbia Town Clock, which is about a block away.
Okay, I'll have to listen to it and see.
But that's what I told him. I said... Mm-hmm. Were they? He knows what the town clock sounds
right,
like.
Right, yeah, he's from here.
He said it didn't sound like the town clock. So it was a reverb, you know, from years ago going through this place for the real church. So I don't know, but they didn't want to stay here overnight anymore. They said they won't stay here.
So do you give ghost tours by appointment still?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Columbia Historical Preservation Society. What's the website?
www.columbiahistory.net, or you can email me at cvera@gmail.com. Or 717-572-7149.
Awesome. I'll put all that in the show notes, too. And, of course, Albatwitz Day coming up.
Albatwitz Day.
October 13th.
We just booked our 5th live band outside. We got 6 total bands coming. It's going to be all rock and roll, heavy metal. Should be fun. And we got the trolley bus rides. We got all kinds of other little activities. Great food. We got some really good food.
Paranormal vendors.
Speakers, yep. We got a lot of
artists,
good things.
Got a lot of good stuff.
Yep. So should have a good time. But yeah.
All right.
I'm excited.
Chris, thanks for telling the stories, and thanks for letting us stay the night. That was awesome.
No problem.
Columbia Historic Preservation Society is an amazing source for history. Chris really loves history and the town of Columbia, and it shows when you talk to him. He's a source of great information about everything from the Underground Railroad to local architecture and Indian artifacts. He's just full of stories and full of history. Chris and the CHPS are really one of the hidden treasures of South Central Pennsylvania. If you're in the area, make sure to stop by. They even sell Albatwitch t-shirts at the Columbia Historic Preservation Society. So stop in and check them out if you can. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Music, books, art, podcasts, and more, darkhollerarts.com. Check out the Strange Familiars Gathering Group on Facebook. You can join and interact with the group. We share stories, artwork, all kinds of stuff related to the topics we cover on this podcast. Stop in and check it out. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more.
Drifts against the graveyard wall. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.